In the name of Jesus, dear fellow baptized, amen. Today is such a cool day. It's the baptism of our Lord Sunday, where we just heard in the short version of it in the Gospels from Mark, who just cuts to the chase, unlike the others, how Jesus came to the Jordan, was baptized, and we hear that the heavens opened. You know, we never hear again that the heavens were closed. Not only that, but we hear God saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus was going to do it all perfectly. He was going to get our Father's attaboy, and then go figure he would give us our Father's attaboy in our baptisms. And then we hear how the Spirit descended down, not as a dove, but like a dove. So there you have it. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Epiphany, bearing witness to and accomplishing for us important work on our behalf. The season of Epiphany is all about God revealing to us His mercy, grace, and love through His Son. And we get a whole dose of it in our gospel reading today. Praise the Lord. And we know the rest of the story. Jesus went on and He did everything perfectly, living out your life and my life in every sense of the word without fail. And then taking upon Himself on Calvary's cross all the debt that we owe God, and He paid it in full. Now, this symbol up here is pretty big, and it's a cross, and it's just there to remind us that what Jesus did on Calvary's cross so long ago is ours. I guess we could call it a relic, but it's just a symbol of something far greater accomplished by Christ. And it's this symbol where we actually experienced what happened in Calvary's cross, because in the waters of holy baptism, Jesus has linked Himself to it, and in the waters of holy baptism, we receive the substance of what Christ has done. And it's pretty amazing. Talk about an epiphany. This baptismal font, some of our congregation actually experienced it here. You and I have been baptized for a long time. Whenever it took place, wherever it took place, in that you died to sin. And that makes you and me dead to sin. And that's pretty amazing. To hear the words of the Apostle Paul, again, verse 3, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Right before that, he says, how can we who died to sin still live in it? We're different because of our baptisms. And ever since we were baptized, we've been learning what it means to be a part of a different kind of family. Spiritual brothers and sisters in Christ. We're learning how to get along with each other. Families are complicated subjects. God knows. And yet it's His grace that will see us through. It's His grace that will help us against all the things that are going against us. And it's easy to say, well, it's all the things happening out there that are against us, and certainly the devil's in the details, but it's actually a lot closer to home. The things that are going against us are actually in here and in here. Here's how Jesus explains it. Let's read it together. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. Can you say a spiritual ooh? That's what comes out of us. That's what's been put to death by Christ Jesus. And yet, isn't it crazy how we are to be dead to sin and yet we're still dealing with these things? Or have you been able to overcome all these? Are you successful? Have you been able to make it a few days without getting too angry or feeling too self-centered? Or have you really accomplished it? I mean, isn't it crazy? We're dead to sin. That's the truth. That's what we hear. And yet there seems to be something that still wants to come outside of us. In our Lutheran language, we call it concupiscence. This spiritual tendency toward sin, transgression, and wickedness. And yet, how many of you have had it up to here with all of that? Amen? Should we do this as our confession and absolution today? Let's do it. I'll lead the process. Dear Lord, I'm tired of all this. I'm tired of the evil thoughts of sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery. You know, if you hate someone, if you call them a fool on 75, you know that's murder. Just telling you. I mean, that's what Jesus says. Dear Lord, I'm tired of adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness, and the rest of my brothers and sisters in Christ are as well. Amen? Forgive us, Father. Forgive us. You know, when we hear this kind of stuff and we realize we don't want to live this way anymore, our response is, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Amen. I mean, the liturgy is something not just supposed to be reserved for Sunday, but it's kind of the rhythm of our life when we see these things raising their ugly heads, right? You know, later on, Paul talks about how until the day we die, we'll drag around a dead body that will want to try to stink up our lives. But keep in mind, we are dead to sin. We are new in Christ. And it's a paradox. It's that crazy Latin phrase you hear pastors throw around from time to time, semi-justus et peccator, simultaneously sinner saint. And yet, the proof of our new life is our desire to be rid of these. Praise the Lord. Some people, this is the only way they know how to live. And it's a pretty miserable life. That's why God establishes his church to be at work with mission. But this is what we're up against. Jesus says, all these evil things come from within and they defile a person. That's my problem, that's your problem. And that's what Jesus came to address. And that's why the baptism of our Savior is so wonderful. What he willingly came and did. So that now, in the words of absolution, for Christ's sake, God forgives you and me our sin, gives us renewal in life, and fills us with the grace and comfort of the Holy Spirit. And all of God's baptized say, Amen. It's so wonderful to know these things. And to realize that as much as we struggle with our sinful nature, this is the truth. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Good point, Paul. Thank you for reminding me again. Now, here's his pastoral rhetoric. It's kind of interesting. You know, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Don't you know? And the truthful response is, oh, I forgot again. Thanks for reminding me, Paul. Forgot, I've been baptized. You know, Luther said the best thing to do in the morning is get up, make the sign of the Holy Cross, and say, you've been baptized. Or, you know, make the sign of the Holy Cross and say, I've been baptized. Because you're a new person. You're God's handiwork. You're his masterpiece. And I know. You look at yourself and say, Pastor, you don't know me. Well, then obviously you don't know me either, because I'm just like you are. We're all messes on a journey where we're learning about what it means to be the objects of God's grace and mercy. Because we are objects of his grace and mercy. And we have been baptized into his death. You know, Paul brings this up. He writes to the church in Rome, and you know, it's called eisegesis in interpretation circles, but reading between the lines or the verses, so to speak, it's almost as if Paul is dealing with things in the church in Rome where people are saying, well, we're saved by grace, go sin boldly, or we can just do whatever we want now. We call that kind of heresy, antinomianism, or against the law, where you don't need to follow the law anymore, you're forgiven and all that. And Paul's making a case that, no, it's not about just living any way you want because you're forgiven. Because you've been forgiven, it actually changes the way you process yourself, the way you deal with yourself, because you've been baptized. And I mean, Paul loves to really focus on this, you know, this experiential realization of what happened on the cross in the waters of holy baptism. He links their death, our death, my death, your death, to being baptized, whenever it happened. Which means we're different. Which means we're going to process life different. We're growing up understanding how to live as and among the baptized, God's family. I mean, Paul says it in places like Galatians 3:27. For as many of you who have been baptized, you've been clothed with Christ. I mean, I'm the sermon illustration of your baptism. I'm wearing the robes that are to remind you that your baptism. So just like that's a symbol and that's a symbol, that contains and gives us the substance in the name of God and water with a feeble pastor baptizing. I'm symbolism of the substance you have by faith, trusting in Jesus. That's what you wear. You wear him who is our perfection. Now when God looks at you and me, he doesn't see us. He doesn't see what we used to be. He sees Jesus. And I mean, it's hard. It's hard to grasp this. I mean, we're supposed to be seeing Jesus in each other, and that's not necessarily easy. Too often we see sinners. And yet, we're not just sinners anymore. We're numbered among the baptized. We need to encourage each other in that life as the baptized. Born again, made new because of what Christ has done and what he gives to us in his completed works on the cross, conveyed to us in the waters of holy baptism, in the words of absolution, as you hear the word of God that alone makes you holy. It's just absolutely wonderful. And it also has a way of shaping us. Paul writes to the Ephesian church, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So this is the identity of the baptized. Going on, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. So as those who now are among the baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, we live differently. We learn to process our lives differently. It's not about lying to each other anymore. It's about talking about the truth, sharing the truth, learning about the truth, figuring out what the truth is. And it's also heeding the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So here, explicitly stated, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. And how can we do that? By maintaining bitterness and wrath and anger. It's interesting, wrath and anger. What's the difference? One is thumos, the explosive anger. How many hotheads do we have here? I mean, if you want to do some more confession, I'm going to get even, or I'm just going to become passive-aggressive, right? Or there's a little bit of both in us, huh? Yeah, I mean, we really can struggle with these things. So when we find ourselves wanting to just be angry, the Holy Spirit says, oh, warning, warning, warning. When we find ourselves wanting to just be into a word war clamor, you know, that's the ta-da-ta, uh-uh, uh-huh, you know, which we can be reduced to. or slander. Slander is a very powerful word. It means blasphemy. It literally means to run someone through. Sticks and stones and words can actually do a lot of damage. Run us through. Put those things away. These are the things that we are dead to, and they don't have rightful ownership of us. It's amazing, though, when we become wrathful or angry, how much of you does anger want? You know, all of you, right? I mean, how much of you does, you know, clamor want, all of you? And yet, Paul says, put these things away. Put them away from you. Give them to the Lord. These are the things that we are no longer to walk in, to live in, to have as part of our members anymore, as we heard, as we read on in Romans chapter 6. So Paul goes on. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. So what's the flip side of that? What's the Holy Spirit leading us to do? To be kind, to be helpful. Maybe that's a better way of translating that word, to be helpful to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. This is the life of the baptized. You know, this is a theme that Paul likes to put in all of his letters. In Colossians, he says it this way, if then you were raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Why? For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So in a lot of ways, you and I cannot even see ourselves anymore. We're hidden with Christ in God. When someone says, do you get a life? You can say, I have one. His name is Jesus. And if you really want to see what you look like, you have to look at Jesus, because that's your identity and that's my identity. As your pastor, I need to look for Jesus in you and you in me. You need to see Jesus in each other, and boy, that can be hard. And yet this is the life of the baptized. Paul goes on. Put to death, therefore, whatever is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Again, here's all these spiritually yucky things that we can entertain longer than we should. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. Think about it. There are some people, this is the only way of life they know. This is what we've been delivered from. Because we've been rescued from the wrath of God. That's what Jesus accomplished on the cross. That's what's given when we share the gospel message with people who are still under God's wrath. That's what happens when people are baptized and brought into God's grace and comfort. Paul goes on, in these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Put them away. Give them to Jesus. Lord, I've done it again. Lord, forgive me for this. Lord, I want to go there with that. Oh, I don't want to do that with them. And so forth. And in that way, you live out your life as a baptized. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. You know, there's all kinds of different ways of thinking about this. But there are places in your life, in your marriage, in parenting, in grandparenting, in your relationships, where things are kind of hard and they're a little painful. It's like the young married guy coming in to talk to the pastor, and you know, he sits down and says, you know, Pastor, you married my wife and I a year and a half ago, and I'm glad I married my wife, but there are things about her that's so hard, and in some way it's just killing me. And then the pastor says, good. I hope you die to your self-centered ways and learn to live in service to your wife, just like she needs to die to her self-centered ways and learn to live. I mean, it's not easy to die to ourselves, but that's the life of the baptized. And there are places in your life and my life where it doesn't make sense, but God would have us understand that that's where we are to be, to learn and grow and to put to death those things that are serving no good purpose. in and among the baptized, in our lives, and so forth. Because this is the life, living in our new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. The one who says, let there be light, is renewing you and me. Thank the Lord, the gospel is at work. And then Paul says the gospel this way, where there is not Greek or Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Do you realize how hard it is for all those to get along together? Nigh impossible. But isn't it amazing that the gospel brings together unlikely people? Really, every and all Christian churches are like churches of misfits, where in the way of life, they would never be gathered together, and yet because of the gospel, they are brought together. And that can become a challenge, and yet that's what has happened in the waters of baptism, where we've been made new. I've got to read it again, because what's fascinating to me is when Jesus was baptized, heaven was open. Never hear the heavens shut again. The Father confirms, this is my beloved Son. And things change. And in your baptism, God said, in you I am well pleased. Because in your baptism, you were connected to Jesus. And something else took place. And I want to showcase this again. This is in Romans chapter 6, where reading on, Paul says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. I mean, think about how silly that can be, and yet how important it is. Lord, I offer my nose and my fingers and my ears, my mind, my heart, my feet. You know, it's in those places we can get into trouble, right? So why not give them to God? Offer them to him as instruments of righteousness. How in the world can we do that? Gosh, can we end on the gospel here? We can. Here's how he does it. Verse 11. For sin, this is a declaration. For sin shall not be your master. It's done. It's not. Why? Because you are not under law, but under grace. You and I live in the favor of God. He looks at you. He loves you. He sees the perfection of his Son. And why? Because you and I are dead to sin. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.